Hello, everyone. Get my hair fixed. All right, let me pause this.
So what are we coaching on today?
Well, I have a quick question that I asked and asked coaches, but I don't know if I asked it right. And then I wanted to coach on the difference between leveling up and stressing yourself out.
Okay.
So the first question was, I am tracking my weight right now by whether or not I stay. So you use Happy Scale occasionally, right?
Yes.
So I've been basically just trying to stay in the green on the loss. And I assume that as long as I'm in the green, then that's a fine way to track it, rather, because looking at the numbers, because they fluctuate so much, is kind of stressing me out. So I was just like, you know what, as long as I weigh frequently and I log it in and I'm honest and I stay in the green, then that's all I care about.
Yeah. Well, you have a major thought error.
Oh, okay.
Do you know what it is?
As long as I stay in the green, I'm okay.
No, that's fine.
Okay.
The number stresses me out, so I don't look at it.
Yeah.
That number doesn't do anything.
No. I choose to think thoughts that are stressful when I look at the number. And I could also choose not to do that.
Yeah. Well, what if we just skip that part? What if you don't do that and you look at both?
Yeah. I mean, I kind of do that anyway. You're right. I guess I've been stuck at 181 for months, and I just keep.
Well, let me give you a hint. Not looking at 181 isn't going to make 181 change. And that's kind of what,
right.
I mean, like, you're focusing on the wrong problem.
Right. Yeah, that's true. I'm looking for the solution.
Ignore the number. Focus on some other bar with colors. All the while, I'm not asking myself, I wonder why I'm stuck at 181.
Yeah, I'm looking for the solution. I'm obsessing over the solution to the wrong problem as a way to.
You're obsessing over the number. You're not obsessing over a solution at all. There's no solution to be found deciding which bar, color, number, anything to look at.
Right.
It doesn't save you any calories.
No, I need to
stop. Why are you stuck at 181?
I'm overeating at dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that 181 is showing you that. It's saying, hey, I am presenting data.
Yeah, I've also never been lower than 181, even though I know I could be very comfortable and hot at 165. I don't think that's unrealistic. But part of me, too, is like, I'm in this. I'll never be lower. I just can't get lower. Even though I know that's a thought error, I still have the thought. So I probably need to
work on that. You need to work on that. Like, do you want to be 165 or do you want to be 181? Right now you're behaving like someone who wants to be 181. You're like, I've never been below 181.
Right.
That doesn't solve my problem.
No, it does not. I would like to be 165, and I would like to eat like a person who weighs 165.
Yeah, if you want to, so somebody who weighs 100, who loses their weight gets up. I'm on new carpet. I can't even like flip myself over, or something bad's going to happen if I keep doing that. I want you to think about this. Like, the person who is like, okay, I'm all in on 165, what is their thinking around all this that's very different than your current thinking?
Well, they don't make eating a giant event, I would imagine, the way that I do.
That's an action. What are they thinking that's different?
What are they thinking? Oh, that it's just a matter of time before I show up for myself and I'm at 165.
They could be thinking that, but this is what I want you to think about. If you were like not worried or scared or stressed out about getting to 165, if you were somebody who was just like, I really believe I'm going to get to 165. What weight did you start at?
194.
Okay. So at 194, what did you think about when you got started?
Oh, I just obsessed all the time about the basics, just constantly using apps to check if I had enough water and beating myself up after overeats and walking around with my planner, just like obsessively filling things out all the time. I hardly did anything.
I want you to be totally obsessed then with 165, all of that except for the beating yourself up part.
Oh, yes, which I've gotten a lot better about. Okay, yeah. And I
that's what it, like, you guys think, you call it obsession. I call it, if I want to do a good job at work, I focus.
Right.
If I want to lose weight, I focus. Yeah. I put my attention where my goals are. And y'all call it obsessions.
Yeah, and I guess in this case, I don't necessarily have a negative connotation with how obsessed I was, because I was productively obsessed, and I'm a workaholic, so that doesn't actually bother me. I feel very happy about having a goal and focusing on it, and I feel good about where I've come from. I guess you're right. I'm now directing that energy toward worrying about not being 181, it's 165, instead of directing the energy toward getting really invested in doing the things to get to 160.
Yeah, I think it's because you're letting the number 181 bother you so much. Like, whatever you're right now, you're obsessed with 181.
Yes.
Like, let me manipulate how I look at the app. Let me not put my attention on how I can solve my problem. Let me just be like, I should not fucking overeat every night. Like, you see how you're obsessing over the wrong part of the scenario?
Yeah, I am. Well, that leads me to my second question, which is the one I thought we were going to start with, but as usual, the one I thought was small was big. And that is, I have so many projects that I'm finally getting started on. I tell you, since I started drinking enough water, I feel like I have a superpower. I am alert and awake. I mean, I have so much energy. It's fucking unreal. I hit over 64 ounces the last 3 days. I swear to God, I'm like the guy in Limitless. Like, my brain's been unlocked.
Yes. That's what happens to us when our brain is watered.
Yeah, shocking that I waited this long to finally get hydrated, because it makes a big difference. But I have so many big projects that I'm now ready to like take on, instead of just sitting there thinking I'll do it one day. And I'm worried. I know that's not the right word, but I'm having thoughts that I don't have the bandwidth to be obsessed with getting with being focused on 165 and focused on project A, B, C, and D, even though I want to do all of them all at once. And
this is what's funny. How long and how much time do you think it takes to not overeat?
I know.
Track water and make a daily plan.
Five to 10 minutes a day for me.
Yeah. This is why you think it's going to take so much bandwidth, because you're going to want to use food to cope for where you're not managing your mind on the other side either. Because if you're not managing your mind over here, I promise you, Lee, you're not managing your mind over there. Like, I don't have enough bandwidth is a myth. Everybody has plenty of bandwidth.
Yes.
Like, and sitting there thinking that you're stretched too thin is always the lie we tell ourselves, so we don't have to do the things that are going to be the hardest ones to do. Not the most time consuming. Like, to get to 165 means you're going to have to do all of this work over here and stress relief with changing your beliefs and not with your mouth. Like, you're not going to be able to overeat at dinner anymore.
No.
You're probably overeating at dinner because you're like running all day long, stressed out about all these projects you have.
Yeah, excited and stressed out, but I get overstimulated and I do a lot and I don't take breaks, and that's sort of my version of stress. It's not like negative thinking stress. It's, oh, I haven't stood up from my computer or drank water in 9 hours.
Yeah. So set a timer, because what's going to happen is you're going to stand up in front of the fridge after 9 hours and take your break.
Yeah.
You're going to get a break. So don't say, I don't take breaks. Say, no, I take breaks when I overeat. That's when I'm breaking. Yeah. It could be breaking during the day.
And just this horrible thought I'm having that I'm really working hard around, that because I work so hard all day, I deserve to eat more, or somehow that the mental energy I've put into all these projects somehow then translates into more room in my stomach, which is a thought I've had to work really hard on, because overeating at the end of the day has always been sort of my yin to my work yang, and that's just not cutting it now.
Yeah, that's when I usually just tell myself the truth. Like, I will say something like, because I have in the past done the same thing. Like, oh, I deserve it. Now, mine is never, there must be more room in the end because I worked so hard today. I never have done that one. That's a new one. But it's the same thing, whether it's always a reward, right?
Yeah.
So it goes back to just reminding myself, like, if I want to eat, because I've not managed my mind, if I want to eat, consciously choose to eat, and I know it will not get me to my goals and stuff, go right ahead. But I won't use my sad ass excuses. That's what I always tell myself. Like, because what has to happen? I love your shirt. Will you put your hands back up again?
The with the cutout elbows?
Yes.
I love it too. The problem is I'm so tall that they won't stay in.
Oh my gosh. I would love to know where you got that. I've never seen one of those.
If you you want one, I can get you one and mail it to you. Do you know what? It's from a local Pilates gym. I don't know if they make them anywhere else. But tell you what, I'll find out where they make the sweatshirt, and I'll send you the link. And if they only make it for them, I can send you the price and the size, and I can get you
one. Yes, I'd be happy to do all that. So let me get back to you, though. I was just like, boy, I was like, I think those elbows are coming out. What I like, one of the things that I make sure that I always reaffirm myself is that when I catch myself using excuses, even if my behavior is going to continue for a little bit, because this is the key, this is where all of you get stopped up. You think because you know your excuse, that's like, oh, well, I know that's an excuse now, so all of my behavior should just stop. Your brain doesn't care if you know your excuse and whether it's bullshit or not. It wants the same behavior.
Right.
And it's like, oh, well, you've just figured out how we're getting there, but we still want to get there. So what I do is I make sure that I get super conscious about the behavior. So I will just tell myself, like, look, if you're going to have wine or you're going to do whatever. I did this the other day. So Chris and I don't know if you moved, you know, we moved. Mm-hmm. And we had had date night. We'd planned date night for last, just say Monday, because I can't remember all the days. Well, on Wednesday, we decided we needed to go back out because we had this big move day coming up on Thursday, and we're like, yeah, we should go and eat. We don't have any food in the house. And I was talking to my friend who coaches me, and I said, I told myself, we're not calling this date night, we're not calling this connection, and we're not calling this we need it. I just told myself, like, you are choosing it. You know this is off plan. This is totally unacceptable. Like, I did all that. I still had the wine, but what I did not want to do is conflate in my brain and mix up things like, it was date night. Like, I don't want to make it sound good. Like when we say we've worked so hard today,
yeah,
it's basically saying like, let me just barely spank you.
Yeah. And it's also a trick too, because one of the things I've learned over the years is that in the time that it takes me to have the argument with myself about whether the thought I'm having is a productive thought, the food's already in my mouth. And so it's like, it's a trick that as long as I'm having the debate, it's actually me buying myself time to do the eating without noticing it. So it's like, I have to really work. And again, a person who is 165 pounds, A, isn't rewarding themselves for doing work all day that they technically enjoy doing anyway. The work just is the reward. And B, they're not sitting there negotiating with themselves about whether or not to overeat. They just don't.
Yeah, they just go through the discomfort of not doing it anymore. Right. And the other part that I think what the 165 person is doing that's very different is that they are very curious and wondering why work they enjoy so much all day long is triggering overeats at night.
Yes.
That is something going on there, whether it's it may be just as simple as you haven't learned how to take breaks to be even more productive. Like, I just went to a conference for high performers. And one of the things that they said was that every 50 minutes, I literally have a timer that goes off. I stand up, I stretch, I do some deep breathing. I either walk around my house, I do something to break your energy gets stagnant and you will feel like you're really working, but you're not really working at your peak level.
Yeah.
And he said, I do that every single time so that I can come back in and go right back at it. And he just has more energy. So it may be you learning how to do some of that to see if it affects in the afternoon. But one of the things, though, is like, be honest about why you're choosing something. Don't ever let yourself just talk yourself blindly into it. Because then, like for me, like I chose that wine, but then there will be 10 others I won't choose because I'm not talking myself into it anymore.
Yeah, I mean, that's the good news about knowing that overeating at dinner is my thing, because I eat dinner every night. And so I made on my accountability group our own little custom workbook that combines not only an adapted version of yours, but also this freedom journal that's like a work planner.
Yeah.
And then I print it, and then I put a 2-minute recovery worksheet in every day.
Good.
So every day I do one at dinner. The problem is now it's becoming like my new routine to just do my worksheet. And I really want to get to a place where I get to put a big line through the worksheet and go, don't need this today.
We have a new worksheet called, I think it's the new urge worksheet.
Yeah,
you may want to now start doing that first.
Yeah.
That and might be. If you want to overeat, you get to, but you don't get to eat. You don't get to it's like, do the urge worksheet.
Okay.
Then you get to eat dinner. And then if you need the recovery worksheet, it's there. But you just watch how it's like, okay, I'm doing my work. This is where we start getting meta level. It's like we start understanding where I'm using the tools. Mm-hmm. If the tools aren't working, We need to make sure that we're actually actively using the tools and not passively. Just doing it but not learning anything is passively doing it.
Yeah. Well, and you had said something in a, oh God, of all the millions of things I've heard you say, but you had said to someone, like, what do you give up when you choose to give yourself whatever the ovary was? Mm-hmm. And for a while, I was coming home at night, and in the transition time between getting in home and eating dinner, I would sit down with a piece of paper and I would write out, like, what I deprive myself of or what future goals I take away or whatever, however you want to phrase it, when I choose to overeat. And that was really working for me. And then I switched over to the 2-minute recovery worksheet. And now I think I need like a combo plan. So that's good. I have some action steps I can take.
Pick something that's going to just trigger you to get to closer to the behavior you want.
All right. Then I will report back in next month, I guess.
Yes. And quit obsessing over that number.
I know. I'm going to obsess over 165 instead.
There you go. All right. All right.
See you later.
Bye. All right. I think it's Teresa's next. Yes, ma'am. And then it'll be Sasha and then Rebecca. So Sasha, if you're here, you can go ahead and raise your hand. Teresa, if you look at the bottom left, there's a join audio. Yes, ma'am. What are we coaching on?
Okay. Well, first off, I've done a lot of thought work on not canceling this coaching call.
Well, good. You were very successful.
Yeah, because here I am. I showed up. I was recently married not quite 2 months ago.
Wow.
Never been married before. First time. And my husband does not desire me sexually.
Okay.
At all.
Okay.
And I don't know.
Married him anyway, right?
Well, that's just it. I thought things were taken care of prior to that.
So tell me, what is the problem? That he doesn't desire you, or is there a different problem?
He has had a pornography problem and self-pleasing behavior so much so that he doesn't get turned on by looking at me. Even when I've asked for us to be intimate, he won't touch me in sexual places. Like, and when I've asked him why, he honestly says, oh, I never think about it. Like he has no desire to touch me. Looking at me doesn't turn him on. Looking at computer images turns him on. So, okay. Yeah.
And that's a problem?
I would say, yeah, I didn't want a sexless marriage. No.
Okay. So why did you marry him then? This was going on before you got married?
Yes and no. Yes. I had wanted him to go to counseling. I said, I don't want to get married till you have this under control. So he did. Back in April when we talked about stuff, he had said that internet porn he was done with. And so we were going to be looking at engagement rings. And I told him, because I've known him now for 2.5 years, I've never seen him have an orgasm, ever. And so April of last year, we were about to go look for engagement rings. And I told him, I said, if this is the route we're going to go, then I do not want to dread my wedding night.
Okay.
And so I told him, I said, I want no sexual anything, no orgasms for both of us.
Okay.
So that I said, and I asked him, I said, I know that may be difficult for you to even think about, but you're only giving up a few months of your life of no orgasms and no intimacy. But I would be giving up my entire life, my entire marriage, of not being intimate with my husband. So if you're on board with that, let's do that.
Okay.
Okay. So he agreed to this. He was upset when I told him, and upset meaning he just got really quiet, like, holy crap, she means business. I love her, blah, blah, blah. And so, yes, he agreed.
Okay.
During that time frame, when I brought it up to him again, and I said, how are things going? He might say, I slipped up this week, but you know, I'm doing great. I'm like, okay. A couple months go by, I bring it up again, and he says he's doing fine. So about a month ago, I mentioned to him that I think he needs to see an actual medical doctor. I don't know, in the sexual realm for men, who you need to talk to. For women, I'd go see my OBGYN if I was having sexual issues. But I said, I think you need to see somebody, because I said either it's your, and I had his testosterone checked early on in our relationship.
Is he orgasming when he's when he's looking at pornography?
Yes.
Okay. So let's talk about this. You married him knowing that this is who he is.
Yes.
I mean,
no.
He did. Well, yes, you married him knowing this is who he is.
Right.
You had
right.
conditions I just, you wanted him to meet.
Yes.
But this is who he is. You said, the version of you I don't like, if you will turn into the version that I want, I'm all in on marriage. But the version that you are, I don't like. And now he's just being who he is. And you're like, well, I don't like that version.
Yep.
Well, you have to decide, Teresa, do you want this version or not? I know that everybody on here is like, oh, fuck, it's pornography. You're going to have a million people in the world who are going to have your back. I have your back on your brain. You are causing yourself pain. I think you think he's causing the pain. He's not causing the pain. He watches pornography. He does not have desire for you. Those are the circumstances.
Correct.
And that is what you married. So now it's like, what do you want out of this without him changing? Because that's the tricky part.
Yep. And so where I want to go is to tell myself, I'm fine. I don't need sex. I don't need my husband to desire me.
Well, all right.
Because if I keep telling myself that, yes, because if I truly felt that way, then I won't have all this pain for the rest of my life.
No, that's not how it works. That's why you're in so much pain. You're wanting to tell yourself something you don't want to believe. That's where all the pain is. The true pain is you want him to be someone else so you can feel good. But you're trying to tell yourself, I'm going to be someone else. And let's just hope that that's going to make me feel good. There, you've got two things just battling each other. I want you to like just erase your brain for 1 minute. He's not right. He's not wrong. You're not right. You're not wrong. Okay. Literally, what do you want to do with this marriage? If you could do anything you wanted, would you want to stay in it or not? Is the first question.
Yes.
Okay. Now, why?
Because I fell in love with his heart. That's what I fell in love with.
Okay. And that's very fair. That is the part you have to start really focusing on first, before anything else happens. Because like you've got like Rebecca over here, his addiction is affecting her. No, his addiction is not affecting her. When you read the comments, I want you to like know right there that is a thought error on Rebecca's part. It is a thought error on your part. No one's addiction ever affects anyone but the person addicted. It is no different than a mother who looks at their child who's on drugs. Their drug problem does not affect the mother. The mother's thoughts about the child does. Your thoughts about someone you love is what is affecting you. And you're wanting to feel love for him and wanting it to be because he changes. And that's why I asked you this question. I want you to love him because you love him. Then any other decision you make after that is always going to be the best one for Teresa, when you're doing it from love first for him and you. Now, you may have boundaries you set up. You may do other things, but they won't feel so argumentative and painful and hurtful inside of you. Like when I said you have anything, you're like, I want to have no desire, blah, blah, blah. You told it to me like you were taking yourself to the whipping post. That's not coming from love.
I don't know how to think of it differently. If I absolutely do love him, my heart's desire is to love him through this, because my other side, to be honest, I have to fight against the other side of my brain of separating myself from him emotionally, because then that's the part that's painful. But I'm telling myself no.
Yeah, you have to love him 200% through this.
There, I agree. There's also the part, especially in this type of thing, because one of the things he told me just last night, that now it was quote unquote easier, those are the words he used, to try and refrain from things prior to the wedding because there's a goal in sight. And now he says it's much more difficult because there is no goal. And I said that's the very reason why I didn't want to walk down the aisle, because now there's no consequence for your behavior.
Well,
and he does. And so my thing is, I can love him through it, but I also, there's a line that has to be there where I'm not saying I have to be the consequence, where you don't enable a behavior. Like, it's okay. Mm-hmm. It's okay. We're great. We don't need this. We're
fine. But that's not coming from love. That's coming from ignorance and ignoring. I'm trying to let me show you the difference. If you really love him and you really love you, and this is a behavior you don't tolerate, then you talk to him from a place of, I love you so much. And I also love me a lot. And I choose to be hurt through this behavior. And these are the things that I'm going to need to have happen. And then here's where the real rubber meets the road. This is why most people want somebody else to change, because you're not willing to change. If he can't overcome his addiction, because that, if that is like, if you really mean it, the way you're looking at me, if you're like, no, I cannot live with somebody like this, then that means when he fails at fixing this addiction, guess what Teresa's choice has to be?
I can either stay and lump it and love him anyway or leave.
Yeah, but if your boundary is this, like whatever consequence you set up, you say, you must go and see a doctor. And, you know, this cannot happen anymore. Whatever your boundaries are, then you say, and if you can't do that, then I will do this. It's not, you have to change in order for me to feel better. It's no, you get the choice to do whatever you want, but so do I. And if you say you're going to leave, that means you have to leave. And that's mm-hmm. why we try to get someone else to change, because you leaving will hurt.
Yep.
But, or you staying. Like, whatever you decide, you just need to understand he's not hurting you. Your thoughts about all of this is always what hurts. It's always what feels love. It's always what feels right or wrong or whatever. It's always your own thoughts. The moment you really take ownership of that piece, you will feel better. You will establish boundaries for you.
So what am I supposed to think? Because I can't find a thought that helps at all.
Everything he does is a circumstance. Everything I think is all on me. And I get to think anything I want. But it's me. You no longer get to blame him for your feelings. You do not have to like his behavior. You just have to own that that's on you. That's not because of what he's doing. It's because of what you're thinking. There are women out there. You know how we know this is true? There are women out there in your exact same position who could give a shit. They don't want to have sex anyway. They're like, go watch the porn. I'll pay it. As long as you're not in here, I'm good. But let's go to dinner after. There are women like that. I have coached and asked Corinne women like this. So that's how we really understand this is a thinking issue and not a pornography issue. And I'm not telling you, you have to tolerate it and you have to feel good about it. All I'm telling you is you have to take ownership for your own mind around it. So, like, what do you want? Ultimately, what do you want? I mean, just give me a dream case scenario.
My dream case scenario was I don't desire sex. I don't want to be wanted by my husband.
Is that your dream scenario?
Yes, it is, because there is zero pain there. There is zero pain there.
Okay, so if your dream is that you don't have to desire sex, then work on
yourself. Because that's all about me. What I just told you was 100% about me. That's my dream case.
Okay.
It had nothing to do with I want him fixed. Had nothing to do with that. The only way this is going to be fixed in my head is if I don't want it.
Okay, then.
Yeah, it's my thought around it. I want sex. My husband doesn't want me. So lump it. Okay, deal with it. On with you go.
Okay, but that's what I'm asking you. If that's ultimately what you want, then quit trying to like solve all this other stuff and get him to quit having pornography problems. Work on your desire to lessen it. That can happen. If you can lessen desire for wine, you can lessen desire for sex. Same thing. If that's what you
want. Okay, then that's what I'll do. That's what I'll do.
Well, I can tell by looking at you, that's not what you want. When I'm asking you what you really want, I can help you get there. But you're so sold on the idea that he's the problem. You're not going to feel better until you understand that is neutral and you get to think any way you choose about it. You get to have all the control. Right now you're given pornography, all of the control. You're given pornography, your emotions, your life, your feelings, and your actions.
And I get all that. But sex with your husband is not a one-sided thing. You have to have two to have intercourse. So this is where I'm confused. That's why it does affect me. Because I can't have sex by myself if I want to be intimate with my husband. I thought that's what, otherwise I wouldn't have, I'm 45, never been married. This is not even married for 2 months. So my thing is, yes, it does affect me. It has to. There's no other way around it because it's a two-person thing. It's kind of like being in a car race. Well, if the other person doesn't show up, you're not in a race.
But this is why I want you to be honest with yourself. If you want to be having sex with your husband, you have to start with being honest so that you understand, I really want to have sex with my husband. He does not want to have this. Now I need to figure out how I'm going to think about it, because your answer, like if you really want to have sex and you're married to someone who doesn't want to have sex, is right there.
So what's my thought?
What do you think it is?
Love them anyway, suppress the other.
Being honest with yourself. I think you're like, what, is it going to hurt to think I really want to have sex with my husband and he doesn't want to have sex with me?
No, because that's a true statement.
Okay, now what do you want to think about that?
I don't know how to change my thought around it.
Right. Your current thought is broken, but how would you like to think about it? Without being like, let me just tell you, everything you're telling me drives anger. That's not what we're looking for in the effective model.
I know. And that's what I'm trying to find another thought. I've been wrestling with this for 2 months. I've been trying to find an effective thought that doesn't create icky emotion.
Well, that's the problem. It's going to create an icky emotion. We just don't want anger and resentment to come up. We want to level up from there. It might just be, well, this is going to suck. If I really want to have sex and I'm not going to be able to have sex, it's up to me to decide what to do now.
Well, and that's why I said, just like you said, okay, so if that's my option, that, yeah, that's exactly what we just talked about. So if that's my option, I want sex, my husband doesn't. So I need to own up to the fact of, okay, this is the rest of your life. All right. Well, then I will start working on suppressing and no longer having a desire for intimacy.
And that's your choice. If that's what you want, you get to have that. I think that's like fine. And then, but I just want you to open up the space for two options for yourself. That if you are going to want to be intimate and stuff, that your answer may not be what you like, but it ultimately might be the one that you also need. I just don't want you in a, I think you're trying to feel good about something you don't like. And that never works. It doesn't work in anything when it comes to our weight, when it comes to our children, all of those things. You always have to get your circumstances back to neutral and really just understand that whatever's happening in the world, that's just happening. And then when you can do that, it's a lot easier to figure out, because right now, I don't want you making any decisions about anything because you're not clear yet that this is like in your control. You think you're being put into a position. And you're just in a position, and it's time for you to decide what to do with the position. Watch the call a couple times. You'll want to listen to it kind of sink in a couple times. But right now, it's not the time to feel better about it. We don't get to have, guys, this is for all of you. You don't move on to an effective thought when your circumstance still makes you feel bad. You're not ready. You still need to know where all your painful thoughts are. And I think part of it for you is I've made a mistake, because you keep going back to I wouldn't have, I wouldn't have, I wouldn't have. That's one of your painful thoughts. And another one is, I think you have a belief that this shouldn't be happening. Those are always going to be thoughts that are hanging around in any situation that are going to stop you from finding thoughts that are going to help you move forward with what you want to do. Because here's the thing. All of us try, like when somebody's dying in our life, when we see like all kinds of things happen, when somebody gets cancer, our first thought is always it shouldn't be happening. We can't start moving forward and where we're going to go with it if we believe that something that actually is happening shouldn't be. You're arguing with reality. And arguing with reality always feels exhausting and terrible. And it produces no result for you. Just argue, just a spin cycle of yuck. That's why I tell people, don't argue with reality. Look at reality. Sit in your feelings for a little bit. Then decide what you want to think. Okay?
Okay.
All right. I'll be thinking about you.
Thanks.
You're welcome. All right, who's next? Sasha. If you will go to the bottom right I think it says, or no, bottom left, go to join audio. Sorry, I've got something over
here.
Can
you hear me now?
Yes, ma'am. All right, so what are we coaching on?
What?
Good. So what are we coaching on?
I think we're coaching on protocol.
Awesome.
I'm excited to talk to you in your new house. Thanks for taking us on a little tour yesterday. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. It looks even better today. We've unpacked almost every box we have now.
Oh my God. You guys are fast, man.
Yeah. I've moved like 36 times in my life.
Yeah, I've moved a lot too, but I think I get slower every time and not faster. Anyway, protocol.
Okay.
I have not written mine yet.
Why?
Well, because when I do, I get to, I sort of want to make some sort of declaration about how many times a week I'm going to have a dessert. I have had a big sweet tooth, and it's very hard for me to think about, you know, giving up sweets entirely. So I'm unsure whether I want to sort of make them into a thing that is part of the protocol or whether I want them to be exceptions.
So do you want to or not?
What?
Do you want to or not? This is a like 2-second decision.
Well, yeah, I think it's diet.
Do you want to or not?
Do I want to? Yes, I do.
Then we're done with that part. Moving on. What's next?
Okay. I guess my next thought is it's
so you're going to try to weasel in like to make this hard and a problem.
I am.
All right. But I just want everyone to take note of what I just did. I did this miraculous thing called take out the drama, make a decision, execute it like a boss.
Okay. Okay. And that's okay. That's like,
that's the rule of the world.
That's what I was waiting
for. I only lost 100 pounds doing it. Okay. I don't know if it'll work. Okay. I'm going to tell you from my experience, when I didn't sit around in anguish and worry and stew and wonder and delay and be like, well, let me not do this part of the program because I'm all worried about the protocol part. Are you still eating desserts?
I have a little bit of dark chocolate most days.
Okay.
And then on an exception. Sorry?
Then you're on their, this is what's so funny. You could, like, I haven't done the protocol yet. You know, I don't know about these desserts and stuff. You're doing a protocol. You just haven't put it on paper. Your right. protocol is the bullshit you eat.
Okay.
No matter what it is.
Okay.
But like the protocol is always running, whether or not you decide to actually write it down and make it like, oh, look, it's all on paper now.
Okay.
Same thing with those 24-hour plans. Whether or not you write them down or not, guys, they're always running.
Yes. Well, I have been planning. I've been including the chocolate in the plan.
Good.
And I'm quite strict with myself about how much I have.
Okay.
And I usually do one exception meal a week, and my husband and I will go out, and I'll usually have a dessert.
Okay.
And I guess I also have a lot of thoughts about, you know, how long it's going to take me to get to goal, which I know is just crazy bullshit. But, and you know, like if I get to have my chocolate every day, then why do I
don't know. We've only got one lady that lost 50 or 60 pounds and she has cake every day. She's been having cake every day since she started.
Okay. I know I kind of feel like she's my role model.
She should be your role model. You know what she did that you're not doing?
What?
She made a decision. She started enjoying the process of losing weight.
Right. Okay.
Like seriously, all of you, I want you to hear this. Okay. Make decisions for yourself so you can enjoy the process of losing weight.
Okay.
Quit arguing for the misery. God. Like, y'all are so hell-bent. It's like, oh, but my diet mentality. I'm like, well, y'all don't get to play the diet mentality card anymore. Once you know you have diet mentality, drama's over. You have to set it aside.
Okay. Okay.
Guys, we don't have to hate the process of losing weight to lose weight. I know we don't. I didn't hate it at all. Does not mean that there are not moments, like the hardest moments are like, say, your husband comes home and he wants to go out to eat and you didn't plan it. And so now you're going to have a salad where that's the restaurant. You always do an exception meal. Save the hard for that. Because if every day is a dramatic bullshit fest about dark chocolate and all this other stuff, and I haven't done that protocol yet. Here I am having to have a coaching call on that protocol. Like when it's all that, that makes dieting hard. And that is like the part that we can retire so that we have plenty of reserves of strength and grit and determination, like just sitting in a big ass tank over here for the moments when it's really going to be hard.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So just so I understand this, because I know that like something's going on with this because I have a lot of confusion around it.
Okay.
Like I know about you know, Ms. Chocolate Cake every day. And if you're listening, I love you. but I am also, and I also know that if I don't put stuff on my protocol, that I'm going to go into restriction and I'm going to rebel and I'm going to eat everything that there is. So I just put it on my protocol, continue to do it, see if I'm losing weight. If I'm not, then I rejig, but as long as I am, then I'm fine. Just thank you. All right. Okay.
Isn't like, it's so funny. You know exactly what to do. And as long as I look at you and go passively, barely nodding my head, you're like, oh my God, the relief is washing over this body. Y'all are hilarious. It's like, y'all are so much smarter than you give yourselves credit for. But here's the thing.
Right.
I think it's when you just release the expectation that there's this one right way, and that it literally, the reason I don't give you meal plans and stuff is so that you will do these things. You'll be like, huh, maybe I'm going to plan dessert. See what happens. Oh, I'm really liking losing weight. Here I am losing some weight. And suddenly I'm not crazy every time I see chocolate. I mean, like all of that starts going away. And then the scale will tell you.
Right. Okay.
You know, and I just, all of you will know this. There will be a few weeks where what got you to this point, the scale may slow down for a few weeks. And then that's when you, like, you don't have to put on the panic button. You can be like, okay, well, maybe I'll like eat a little less chocolate, or I've learned that I don't need it every day anymore. You know, like, because a lot of times you'll set like this dessert thing. And you're setting it up because I need it. That's the way I was with my ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like, I think you said you needed it in the beginning. I'm just saying there was a little bit of a...
I don't know. I don't quite feel that, but I do feel like...
What was it that you said in the beginning about desserts being on the protocol? I really like my desserts or something like that.
I have a sweet tooth. Yeah. So...
You may end up losing weight and enjoy the weight loss so much that the sweet tooth isn't nearly as important anymore. And that's what I noticed when I was losing weight.
Okay.
That a lot of things that I thought were really important to me, like these are the things, oh no, this is the protocol. Like it, like the 250 and the 220 ones changed dramatically. Mm-hmm. After 30 pounds, I was like, I want to try some more of this healthy shit. Like some of the stuff that I was like non-negotiable on, like suddenly became up for interpretation.
Okay.
You know, it was like, maybe this isn't as important. Maybe I won't miss it. So I'll try a week and see what happens.
Okay.
And the next thing I knew, it was like, the more I started finding the joy and the delight and the fun in losing weight and the process and what I was learning and the weight coming up, I mean, like, all of those emotions that I used to put on the food were now being produced by Corinne. I was like, well, I don't need this. Like, it wasn't even like, I don't even think it was super conscious to have to let it go. Mm-hmm. It's a no-brainer to let some of that stuff go.
Okay. That also makes sense to me.
But so, I didn't let everything go. I still like chips. So I still have chips.
Okay. I think I'll just meet myself where I am then.
Yeah.
How about that?
Always the best place. Because wherever you are right now, because it's so funny, because when you think conceptually, this even goes into our last caller. She needs to meet herself. She's 2 months in to marriage of something that she totally didn't even expect was going to be happening, right? Well, she kind of had some expectation, but she'd set herself up to believe that she could change someone. Like we do. We set ourselves up to believe when we start a diet that we can just morph into this other human being, that suddenly eats broccoli like it's, you know, going out of style. And it never happens. And so we always have to meet every person and ourselves where we are at in the moment. Because where we are tells us where we need to change to grow. What we try to do is meet ourselves where we want to be, and then figure out, well, how can I just morph into the other human being that's that person? And then we beat ourselves up routinely because we can't just snap into place. And the human brain and the human, like, everything is not designed that way. it was always designed to evolve. If you think about like the human race, we're losing our pinky for a reason. We're evolving. We don't need it to climb trees anymore. Like everything evolves in a human and it takes a long time. So it's like thinking about, all right, what I know what I would like at the end, but what's going to get me to the next step that gets me a little closer, that allows me to start changing and evolving?
Okay. Thank you, Corinne.
You're welcome. That's good stuff. I know it's kind of hard on you, but I really wanted to make everybody see the thing that makes me so good at what I do and has made me lose 100 pounds and do everything is because I do not labor bullshit decisions. Like I would never spend more than 2 fucking seconds on trying to decide on whether something should be on a protocol. It either is going to be on there or not, and I'm going to test it.
Okay.
Done.
You can be hard on me. I can take it.
Well, I love your walls. The last time you were on a call, I think I commented on your beautiful blue walls.
You did.
Yeah. It's like a Tiffany box. All right.
Thank you, sweetie. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, Rebecca, you're up. Bottom left will be your join audio. Hey, late. Everybody looks like Betsy today.
With audio. Okay.
I think you look like Betsy too.
There we go. Hey, how are you?
I'm good. It's awesome. Like everybody pops up and I look and I'm like, Betsy. No, it's not Betsy. Yeah. What are we coaching on?
Well, something near and dear to your heart right now. We're talking about moving.
Yes, I'm an expert.
You should be seriously on fire for this answer. So we just found out, I live in Houston. We live in Houston. My husband is going to take a job in Kentucky. Oh. We've got kids here. They're older, one in college and one out of college, but they're here in the general area in Texas. And so we're going to be keeping this house. Okay. And initially we thought, well, I'll be based here. He'll be based there. We'll go back and forth. And he called on Friday and said, you know, hey, it's going through. It's going through. It's going to be official. And I was so excited. So excited. I was in my car. We were talking and I started to cry. I was so excited because I'm so proud of him. And I drove straight to HEB for my Texas girls. That's a grocery store here. And I bought pop chips and Halo Top. So
Oh my God, I think you and I might be the same person.
Listen,
I'm walking those are like two of my jams.
Oh my God. I'm walking through HEB. I've got a red face, red eyes, because I've been crying. I've got pop chips, Halo Top, and tampons in my car. I have a big do not fuck with me sign on, basically. You know, so but anyway, so I realized that I've got little notes over here, so that's what I'm looking. I was more upset about this than I thought.
Okay.
And so I did a little writing and then I did a little more. And what I came to were two things. One, I don't want to live apart. He is my sweetheart and my best friend. And we've been married for 28 years and I love him. Mm-hmm. So I called him today and I was like, well, we're idiots. And he said, well, hello. So I'm going to live up there and come here some rather than doing the other way around. And we'll figure it out with the kids. And So I've got worries over that.
What's the last? What is your primary worry?
I have, and this is one thing. I'm coming to the 2-day, and so I'm going to get into. This is my question. One of my questions for the 2-day is: I've got a kiddo with some health issues, and so I have to be here sometimes a lot, and sometimes just some, and you know, sometimes on the spur of the moment. So I'm worried about how that will work out. But the other thing, the last 2 times we've moved, I've had big flare-ups with either my anxiety or my depression.
Okay.
And, you know, I was writing, and that's really what came out, that I'm worried about that.
Okay.
And I think I have things, like I'm not worried about getting a house. I'm not worried about finding friends. I'm a little talkative. I will meet people, you know. But
what are you most worried about, man?
I'm worried about another flare up of that depression that was so bad or the panic attacks that took a year to go away. I just,
so what do you blame both of those on? Because right now you're blaming them on a move.
Yes. And I know it was something I was thinking about the move. I understand the move is the circumstance. I'm doing those models. I don't mind change. I don't mind.
But we don't even need, this is all I wanted to show you, is that if you keep thinking or even slightly letting it be unconsciously thinking that a move can trigger anxiety or a move can trigger depression,
right.
Guess what happens? Every time you think about the move, you trigger thoughts about worry, about being depressed and being anxious. And the more you trigger those, suddenly you find yourself being depressed and anxious.
Okay. All right.
It was the thing I want you to think about is it was never the move. It was my unmanaged mind at the time.
Well, that's true. Okay.
I want to guess that since you've joined PM, this is just a wild one. That since you've joined, how long have you been with me and listening?
Since January.
And how long were you listening before that?
I found you in December.
Okay. And then do you ever listen to Brooke Castillo too? Because you know a lot about the thought stuff.
It's because I've been doing a thought download and a model every day. Well, with my
everyone, friend. Please take note. Here's the model. Because I just knew you'd been around like a year at this point. Because,
oh, wow, that's funny.
You're so dialed in to how all this works in our brain. I'm like, that's why I was just like, well, then surely you listen to Brooke too.
No, but I've listened to all the podcasts. I mean, I've binged you. So
you are like a shining example of someone who now understands their brain. So here's what I want you to do is go to the next level and understand that the worry is all optional. The move's going to happen.
Yeah.
Depression and anxiety are the optional part.
Okay.
You also can, like, I can't tell you how many people asked me the last few weeks, I know you're so stressed. You have to be so stressed. And I would look at them and be like, I'm not. Not at all. You know why? Because I kept telling myself, the move day is coming. I'm pretty sure we'll, like, no matter what happens, we'll move.
Right, right.
Because I totally believe at the bottom, I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
As long as I kept my brain clear on all the moving pieces would fall into place somehow, maybe not even like I planned. And let me just tell you, this last week went as planned.
No, moves are,
And I mean, it was crazy weird stuff. For 3 days, I didn't pack a box because I was working around the clock. By choice.
Right, right.
I kept telling myself, I know we'll get moved. I know we will. It'll all come together. And it did. Right. And so when you really believe that, I'm not just giving lip service. Like, you can't like sit there and say it'll really happen. And in the back of your brain, like, yeah, well, like, she doesn't know this. I'm going across. Like, all of that.
All special unicorn circumstances.
All of those special circumstances now get to drop down to the thought line.
Okay.
Because that's what they are.
Yes.
They're your collection of whoobies to hang on to worry and anxiety.
They are. Yeah. No, that's really true. And so I'm going to do some work on that. Mm-hmm. And the other part of this is sometimes when I'm doing stuff that I don't have a lot of control over. You know, when you're moving, you don't have a lot of control. I don't know what houses are going to be on the market. I know I'm going to buy the best one that, you know.
That's where you take your control back. Like, well, we don't know what houses will be on the market, but I know I'll find one.
Yeah. And I think I'm worried because a lot of times what I've done in the past, and it's just the past, is I've restricted my eating because I can control that. You know, like, I can't control how fast I find a group of girlfriends up there and how long I'm going to be going to coffee by my own damn self. And, you know, but I can control that I have 8 almonds and 3/4 of an apple for my snack.
Yeah, well, now you also get to control your 24-hour plan, and you don't plan that.
Okay.
You don't plan for restriction.
Yeah.
You also can control how fast you find friends.
Yeah.
You get out there more often.
Okay.
I mean, like, I just want you to see, like, how I'm just thinking about it different than you are.
No, and it's so
funny. You're saying, I can't control how fast.
Yeah.
Like, that's one way to look at it.
Right.
But you're talking about it as like, no, this is the truth. Like, I can't control that. And like, I'm like, I would never think of it like that. I would be thinking of it like, I'm going to find friends fast, because if I have to go sit at Panera 8 hours a day and drink coffee and give everybody creepy eye, that's what I'll be doing. Okay. Like, I will introduce myself to everybody that sits down next to me. I'm Corinne. I just moved here. Who the hell are you?
Like, okay.
But right. Do you understand, like, yeah. We may take the same amount of time to find friends. Your part, your version.
But I can label it differently.
It's like, it was hard. Man, it took me a while. My version is like, I talked to everybody. I finally found friends. This is great.
Right.
I found the right ones. I mean, like, truth is very, is the word subjective?
Yes, it is.
Yes. All right. Well, you know me. I'm not exactly Miss, I'm not like Kathy over here who knows all the
people. You know what? You don't give yourself enough credit.
And Jilly or whatever it is she talks
about. You don't give yourself enough credit. My husband listens. He's one of the smartest people I know. We're both accounting and finance people. And he listens to you with me when he's been home. In fact, the other day I said, do you care if I turn on Corinne during breakfast? And he was like, fuck no. So we turned you on, and I don't remember what it was that you were saying, but he was like, that is so smart. That's so insightful. You don't give yourself enough credit, Corinne.
You're well, I appreciate smart. It. So, I definitely, anyway. Well, I think it's because Kathy posted in the contents or the comments tangential. I can't even read it.
Tangential. We got
yes, whatever word she uses, but I'm surrounded by people with flowery language. And so like, you know, my flowery language is fuck. But I think that one of the things that we all have to remember is that truth is subjective.
Yes.
It is not a fact. There's a difference between truths that we tell ourselves and the facts. Like, this table is a fact.
Right.
Me thinking it's like, this is a beautiful farmhouse table.
Right. Or it's too high, or it's too low, or it's,
yeah. Or like someone who thinks it's, you know, like loves tables that are modern and be like, it would look better if it was a modern one. But it's like, truth is the truth. And so like for you, I want you to watch what truths you're telling yourself about this move.
Mm-hmm.
Very aware of all of them, because it's easy to say like, here's all the things I have no control over. In fact, this would be a great exercise for people, especially with anxiety. Do a list of everything you currently think you have no control over. Like, if you're just letting it loose,
okay.
Go back and argue how you have control.
Ooh, I like that. I like that a lot.
Did you say something about the child that's got health problems? Like that worry, and you have no control. It's like, no, you'll come back.
Yeah.
And you'll find the schedule that works.
Right.
Rather than, I really have no, you know, I really don't know what's going to be happening there.
Right. No, like, that's true.
You do know. You'll come back, and some stuff will work and some stuff won't, and you'll figure it out. Like, it's literally, guys, when it comes to, you know, I don't know about anxiety as much, although I'm going to be studying because my son now is having anxiety. It's a new one. Like, Chris and I are like, oh my gosh, we've never had anxiety. We're like, what do we do?
I've got all the resources. Good books. Good.
He was talking to his nana about my mother-in-law has anxiety. And so they've been together for 10 days having an anxiety powwow. And he wants to come home and change his diet. Like, you should hear all the things. I'm like, child. So I think that with anxiety, one of the things to really manage is understanding where you have control. Because I think what I see most common with people who have anxiety is it almost always gets triggered from not being able to control your thoughts and not feeling as if you're in control. Like overwhelm a lot of times triggers anxiety, and overwhelm is caused by feeling like you don't have control.
Right.
So do that. I think that would be really good for you to like script on a lot of the things you're telling yourself around this move.
That's good. And it's interesting because I didn't see that, you know, the more emotion you have in a subject, the harder it is to see that you're putting a thought in that fact.
Yes.
Plot, so.
Well, that's what I'm always telling you. Just like the last lady with the diet mentality, just so much emotion around that protocol.
Right. And when you were coaching her, I was like, well, sure, of course. Of course that's how it is. Surely. Yeah. And now I'm like, oh, really?
Yeah. It's just like everything that you fear, like so much of everything that we fear is totally in our control.
Yeah.
I'm so worried about this. It's like, well, what if we quit worrying that will happen and we just get to handling our business?
Okay.
You'll feel right. better.
That's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do. I cannot wait to see you in April for the 2-day. So
we were talking about it. We had our team call today, and we were talking about all things camp, and just, I told Chris last night, I was like, I am so looking forward to camp. I'm like, I don't know. I feel like I've been working so much recently, just like getting us moved and everything. I'm just ready to just let it loose with you guys for 5 straight days.
Awesome. Yeah. We can take it. We're ready. All right. Yeah. Thank you so much, Corinne.
Bye. All right. Let's see. Who's next? Let's see. Well, shoot. Hang on. My screens are jumping. Is Mary here? I have Mary, Amica, Bethany, and Sonia. Raise your hand if you're getting coached. Mary, are you here? I'm going to skip you if you're not getting your hand up. I don't see Mary. All right, let's go to Amica. I think you're actually next after her. Lips are dry today. Hey, lady. Bottom left is the join now button. Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I got to get some.
This is exciting. I just signed up like 5 minutes before the call.
Was there an opening?
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. What can I do you for?
Yeah. So, well, first of all, I'm gonna be that person. It's Amaka.
Amaka. Okay, that's fine. I got redneck all up in me. That's fine. Well, it's like me and Corinne. Somebody called me Corn one time. I'm like, usually I don't correct people, but I will correct Corn.
So I was I'll give you a little background real quick. So I realized like 2 weeks ago when I was doing recovery sheets that I eat to avoid making decisions. It just took me 29 years to figure that out. So I realized I've been having this goal to like work in TV and film, and I've been kind of like struggling with it. And I decided like 2 weeks ago that I'm going to give it up and just move back home.
Okay.
But I actually had a sign, which is very weird. There's this actor that I watch on YouTube, and I said, I'm going to take improv classes and I'm going to do it just for fun. He was sitting randomly in a hallway and I met him like last Friday. So I said, this is a sign. There's no reason. This is a very weird sign that he's sitting there. I talked to him for 10 minutes and he kind of gave me encouragement. So I'm leaning toward not giving up on my dream, but now I'm terrified of failure, terrified of pursuing something that I really want.
Why? Because you'll fail?
Yeah, I was thinking, I never actually succeeded in anything that I truly wanted.
Well, now's the time.
How?
I can tell you one thing. You'll never figure out the how if you don't start.
Yeah.
Why do you need to know how? Why not just be like, I am going to do this. And I am going to figure out how to do this. But like the how presents itself once the commitment's made. I'm telling you.
Yeah. And I think I've been getting to my head because I took the four tendency quiz and I realized I'm an obliger. And I think that's also affected me, like thinking, okay, there's a reason why I haven't been able to follow through on things as well. So
you're not following through because you're afraid you're going to fail rather than confident that you'll keep going. You're practicing the wrong side of the coin. Like, how much time are you spending nurturing the confidence that you'll just keep going through everything that doesn't work?
Not much anymore, because I was like literally about to give up like recently. So that's the thing. I just don't know. I don't think I've ever learned, and I don't know how to like be confident in things. It's just a strange like concept to say.
Well, here's how confidence is built. All right. First and foremost, you have to start with self-confidence. Self-confidence literally can only be felt and generated if you're thinking that you will figure things out. Like, that's how it works. If you don't believe that you'll figure things out, then that means you're like, well, you'll feel doubt and stuff because you'll be thinking about the problems and the failure that are surely to come and how, like, oh, I don't know if I can do all that. Self-confidence says, I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to get started. I don't need to know how first. I need to know me first. Because then when you have self-confidence, you start looking for things to do. You start trying things. You have this inner space that says, I'm going to try a lot of stuff that's not going to work. And that's okay, because that's supposed to happen. What most of you do is you think, well, I need to know how so I can do it just right. Because doing it just right is how you get there. And it's like, no, you do it wrong a lot, and then you get there. Because then you've figured out what all needs to happen and what doesn't need to be happening.
So I'm worried that if I do pursue stuff and I fail, which is part of the process, I will fail once and not want to go and not be able to rebound from that.
You for sure won't want to rebound. This is part that, like, you're wanting to know, like, what to do. And I'm like, no, here's what you need to work on. You need to work on that thought. Like, okay, for sure I'm going to fail. And for sure I'm going to be like, I'm out. This sucks. I'm terrible. Blah, blah, blah. You need a game plan for that moment.
Yeah.
You need that way more than you need somebody to be like, here's the 10-step plan on how to be successful in TV and whatever it was.
Yeah.
Like that. Even if I promise you, how'd you say it? It's not
Amaka.
Amaka. If that guy gave it to you written down on paper, this is exactly what's supposed to happen. Like, you have to do it this way. Something wouldn't go right and you'd quit. It's not the paper that's the magic. It's not the steps that's the magic. The magic is knowing Hiroshima's happening. And I got to figure out when that mushroom cloud's blowing, how I'm going to respond. I'm either going under or I'm just going to be like, I'm dead.
That's what I usually do. Yeah.
Never took one improv class.
And that's what I'm trying to, like, figure out. It's just like, I don't know why it's so scary.
Because you beat yourself up. Like, that's why. That's literally the only thing. Like, I promise you that if you were like me, who refuses to beat the shit out of themselves when they screw something up, I just refuse to do it. Even when I start doing it, I stop it. Like, it would be like me, like, if I saw Logan drinking bleach, I'd run over there and make him stop. To me, when I'm beating myself up or having negative thinking about me, it is like seeing someone drink bleach. And I'm like, get this shit out of your mouth. Like, we don't do it. If you're that, like, I'm telling you, if you're that dedicated to that part, you're willing to make all the mistakes. Because the only thing that's scary is what you're going to tell yourself. It's not the mistake. It's what you tell yourself is the scary part. So what do you tell yourself when you make a mistake?
Well, that just proves that I shouldn't be doing this, that I should figure out something else to do, or I should just settle with the career I have, even though I don't like it at all. I usually just, like, yeah, get into that, like, hamster wheel of thoughts, and then I just say, well, let me eat all the food instead, because that will avoid it for an hour or something.
Yeah, like, you just have to be in agreement that when things are not going to go the way you think they are, that's just part of the process. This is, like, has nothing to do with me making the wrong decision and I'm going to be stuck in a crappy job and blah, 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 whatever. Like, you need to, like, really tell yourself that that's a bunch of crap. Because what you're doing is you're staying in a crappy job ahead of time. Like, all your worst fears, like, when you say, like, I'm not sure if I should do this and everything else, like, I should just, like, let me just retire my dream, blah, blah, blah. So I'm going to just keep doing this life. The one that you say, like, when I ask you, what is all this fear? What is it? And you tell me, and you're like, but this is what I'm choosing now. So I don't have to make a mistake. So I'm just going to live out the fear now. By choice.
You are good. Okay. Yeah.
I say be scared shitless, chase your dreams really hard, and agree to never beat yourself up and surprise yourself. If the worst that can happen is the life you have now, so what? At least you're going to be in pursuit of something amazing. I'd rather be in pursuit of something amazing and have what I have than to just have what I have and never even gave myself the opportunity to have something amazing.
Yeah. I know I need to do it. It's just like, and it's funny because sometimes confidence kind of like peeks through. And I'm like, I know I'm funny. I know I'm talented. I know I can do all this stuff. But then I'm just like, you never know that I could meet one person and they might not like me, and I can kind of just throw me off. But I know, like,
well, and that's what I want you to think.
Yeah,
I could meet someone who could throw me off.
Woman, you have to go. Sorry, my mom is like here. I had to tell her to go away. Sorry.
Hello.
I told her to leave me alone. She came. Sorry. Mommy, okay. You have to go, Mommy. You have to go. Mommy, you have to go. You have to go. Sorry.
Okay. It doesn't bother me. I was going to say,
because I don't want her to hear it. I purposely told her before, do not come here.
I just want you to notice your other pain thought, which is someone can throw me off.
Yeah.
Remember, no one can throw you off. You're going to be judged. If that, like, let me just tell you, that's also probably stopping you. Fear of other people's judgment.
Yeah.
Yourself. Like, when you really start getting good at understanding, like, people are just not going to like me. I tell people all the time, I'm like, let's just start with the hardest one. Because everything else after that is, like, it's easy to believe everybody's going to love me. I'm going to slay, blah, blah, blah. You know what the best work ever is? They're like, there's going to be some people out there who are so straight going to give me feedback that sucks. They're going to, like, not like anything I do. They're going to tell me I'm doing it all wrong. Like, all of that is going to happen. And here's how I'm going to think about it. I'm never going to beat myself up over that. I'm either going to take the feedback and be like, yeah, this is how I grow. You should hear my team. I beat them up all the time. They've all gotten used to it. In the beginning, it's like kicking puppies. They cry, whine, call the dog pound on me, all kinds of stuff. But now, like, they understand, like, they've told themselves 1,000 times, this is how I grow. This is how I get better. This is what levels me up. And then sometimes there's just douchebags in the world and they're wrong. And that's what I tell myself about internet haters. Like, sometimes people will say, like, I had somebody email me the other day about a video that I put out. And she told me how it was obvious I was frustrated with people and that I should separate my personal life from my professional life. Like, she had, like, all this stuff. And I swear to God, I didn't even get upset about it. I was like, she was just wrong. She didn't even know what I was coming from. And we had a very friendly conversation about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was just like, people always just have thoughts. But I could have easily been like, bitch, like, what? You know, like, or I could have been like, oh my God, my day's ruined. I shouldn't have done that. I should take that video down immediately. I didn't do any of it. I just always look at everything that's said to me as that is something said through the lens of one person's life in that moment. And it deserves, like, that much attention.
Yeah. I don't want to get to that point.
You can. It takes practice, but I will tell you, the only way to practice it, you need to practice it ahead of time, because right now what you're practicing is worrying about what other people are thinking. And so if you're going to worry what other people are going to think, I want you to spend equal time thinking about how you're going to think about other people's opinions, how you show up for yourself with other people's opinions. Like, if you want to be hurt, like, seriously, like, if somebody says something you want to be hurt, just say, like, I gladly choose the hurt, but I never think it's their fault anymore.
Oh, okay.
It will really help you. Have you done our self-love course?
I don't think so. I just started in January.
Yeah. Oh, so if you don't, if you want, you might want to just listen to those calls and stuff that we had in there. It's not very long, but it has like 30 days of journal prompts that you can do that are self-love things. That might be helpful for what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You want to do like extra work or anything, but I'm just a big believer in, if you have a dream in your heart, do not let it go because of your own limited belief.
Yeah.
Fix it even if your belief is limited.
Okay. I got some work to do.
We all do, honey. Even the queen.
Yeah. I'm coming to the camp in April.
Good. It's going to be so fun.
I'm going to buy a couple boxes of Kleenex.
No, we put Kleenex on every table. Do not worry. We do it on purpose.
Yeah. So, yeah, but this past few weeks have been kind of like light bulbs coming in and out. Like, so I think, I started journaling again as well to kind of get some things out. And I was like, oh yeah, this is actually like, I can see how my thoughts are affecting my ability to like actually carry.
Yes, if you work on this part, you will not need that food. It will be like I was telling the last person. When you work on this, you'll be delighting yourself so much, you won't need to escape yourself anymore.
Yeah. Hey, and let me go yell at my mom.
You can yell at your mother. You go give her a big-ass hug and say, thank you for brightening Corinne's day.
Bye.
Bye. Oh my God, what a sweet girl. I've seen her post so much too. I'm so glad she got on a call. Oh, I guess I'm supposed to be coaching. Hang on. I'm just sitting here just like looking at y'all's chat. Like I ain't got nothing to do. Mary, if you're here, raise your hand. Otherwise, Bethany, you're up. I've got Beth Bortz. Bethany Bortz. Okay, yeah, that's who I'm. I could read. I've also got Beth's time, number one. And I got SUV. I don't know who SUV is. If you are under an assumed name, bottom right or bottom left is the join audio. SUV, if you're Mary, you'll need to, if you can you post in the comments so I'll know that calling on the right person. If you're not signed up for coaching, will you make sure you lower your hand, please? That'll help too. All right. Can I hear you?
I don't know. Can you hear me?
Yes. What are we coaching on?
Hi. Okay. So I was at January camp and, I raised my hand and asked a question.
What did I coach you on?
I was arguing for my pain.
No wonder you look so shy right now. You're like, can I raise my hand? You keep like doing like this as if it's going to make it better. Like if I get out of the car, maybe it won't come as fast.
Yeah. I was like, why should I write down all the crap I wasn't journaling? I asked, why should I write down all the crap that I hate about myself? Because, like, I don't want to see that.
Yeah.
You told me to do it. So I'm really proud to report that yesterday was my 60th day in a row of thought downloads.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So I did it. I mean, I'm still doing it. I did another one today. And you were right. It was really valuable.
I love it. Kathy, did you hear that? I was right.
It was really valuable information. So what I did yesterday, because I knew I was having a coaching call, but I went scanned through all of my thought downloads and looked for patterns of things that are holding me back. And the one that really sticks out to me is I have a fear of, Now that I see everything that's not working for me and all of the unhappiness that I was pushing down and avoiding, now I can see it all. I'm afraid to, kind of what you were just coaching on, but I'm afraid to act on it because I have this belief, and I know this is the belief that's holding me back. I have this belief that I can't handle my emotion. If I try to solve a problem and I can't solve the problem, or somebody gets mad at me, or if it causes an issue, because like my husband being an example. You know, there's a lot of work that needs to be done there. And I just avoid. I journal like crazy about it, and I see there's issues there, but I avoid bringing them up with him because I'm afraid that I can't handle.
What's so funny is you're already handling them, so I don't know why you keep telling yourself you can't handle your emotions. You're handling them with avoidance. That's a technique. It just sucks, but it's a technique.
Right. But now that I've seen all the crap, there's a lot to fix.
Yeah, so pick one. You don't pick all of them, you pick one. You got to build the skill of, like, literally all of you. I could have every single person right now, even the ones that have modeled for a year, I could have them do the same exercise and they would have a lot of crap to fix. There's always going to be a lot of crap.
But I'm afraid I don't know how to fix it.
Well, I can for sure tell you, you can't figure it out not doing it.
So what do you do when you go to try to fix something and then get overwhelmed and the anxiety and the crap?
You allow yourself to feel overwhelmed and anxiety, but you come up with a plan of how you're just going to keep going on this one thing until you've solved it. But you have to make sure your solve is correct. So your solve is only for you. So, like, tell me something you want to fix. Give me one of your multiple. Well,
marriage, the relationship.
What is one thing in the marriage you want to fix?
Communication.
And one thing about communication you want to fix?
I probably should talk to my husband.
So you don't talk to him at all?
Not about anything important.
Okay, so, but this is what I'm trying to get you to see. This is why you're overwhelmed. Like when I said, what do you want to fix? Marriage.
Right. Yeah.
That'd be like me saying, what do you want to fix, Corinne? Every single woman in the world's weight. Yeah. Yeah, that's overwhelming. What if I just decided to work on 10 people's weight this week? Like, I want you to narrow it down. So we're going to keep drilling this down. This is where overwhelming anxiety sucks. So you want to fix your marriage, but the part of your marriage you want to fix is the communication. And the part of the communication you want to fix is the next level. So what is that? You want to talk to me about, like we're communicating, but not about what?
Well, anything that would make me vulnerable to be hurt. So
of all the things that make me vulnerable in this relationship, the one thing I want to fix is what?
Really?
Your internet connection is terrible.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So say it one more time because
I'm really angry all the time.
Okay, so that's not vulnerable. So part of the communication, the things that I'm not communicating is that I'm angry, and one of the things I'm angry about is
I'm angry that he doesn't It's hard for me because I know that a lot of what I want to say are things that are his thoughts.
I don't care. Just give it to me. Quit trying to fix yourself and let me do it.
Okay. I'm angry that he doesn't accept me for who I am. Like, he wants me to be different.
Okay. So he says, so give me something in particular. So I'm angry that he wants me to be different because he says, I want you to be this way. Like, give me his thought that's your circumstance. That he's said out loud.
He wants me to not have anything outside of our marriage that doesn't involve him. So, like, hobbies or interests or friends.
So here's your circumstance. My husband told me last night, I am not allowed to have friends, hobbies, or anything outside of our marriage.
Well, here's the thing. We don't communicate. We don't talk.
That's not a circumstance. So give me a circumstance. I need a circumstance. This is what I'm trying to, this will get you out of overwhelming anxiety because your thoughts or that he wants you to have no hobbies, friends, or anything.
Right.
I want to know what the real fact is, because that's the problem. What has he actually said about friends, hobbies, and outside interests of the marriage?
If you loved me, you would want me to be involved with the things you do.
Okay. So he's allowing you to do things. He would like to be involved.
Yeah.
And you're angry.
Yeah.
Why? Because he wants to be involved? He wants to participate with you?
Because he says he wants to participate, but when we used to do things together, he didn't want to participate.
Okay, well, maybe he's a different person now.
Well, see, and there's the thing. It's like, I feel like I'm a different person now.
Maybe you are. Maybe you should bring this guy along with this different version of you, and you won't be having the expectations of how he should show up.
Right.
Like, this is what I want you to see. You want to work on your marriage and all these unspoken things. You have the unspoken part. He said, will you include me in your stuff? Your thought is, he wants me to have no life, no hobbies, no nothing outside of our marriage. Do you see the difference between the two thoughts?
Yeah.
I want to be included. You want me to have nothing in the world.
Right.
What do you think needs to be cleaned up?
Just something in between, you know, like
no.
Talk about. Well,
no.
My thinking obviously is.
Your thought about his one sentence.
Yeah.
Your thought could easily be, oh, he wants to be included.
Right. Well, and then your brain looks for proof that you're right. And so a lot of times he's not saying anything, but I'll just assume like, well, the reason why he's not talking to me is because I went out last night, or the reason why he did this is so, and I have no clue if that's why. I just am, you know, assuming that that's the case.
Yeah, you're just creating drama for yourself.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What if we just let him, like, not talk and just assume he has nothing to say?
Yeah.
I mean, how would just imagine for just a moment that you went through life and you didn't put thoughts on him at all. Hmm. Like, what he said is actually what he means. And when he's quiet, he just has nothing to say. Like, if that was your marriage, would it be different than it is now?
Well, yeah, I mean, it would be different. I don't feel
you
like
sure wouldn't be angry.
Right. The anger would be probably less if I would just say what's on my mind, but I just don't
no,
like,
to I, you don't even have to say anything yet. You wouldn't be angry because you would have nothing to be angry over. He's just being quiet and you just assume he has nothing to say. Where would you be angry now? If everything he said was just a fact now, not your thoughts, just facts. Like,
okay,
if you love me, I'd like to be included in some of the stuff you do. Okay. Next Tuesday, I'm going out with the girls. You want to come? I'm just going to assume that you actually want to be included. That's all I'm doing. I'm not thinking anything else. And then when he's quiet, you're just like, oh, good. Now I can watch TV. I don't have to talk to anybody. This is great. I get on Facebook, see what them P&P girls are doing.
Yeah, that makes sense. It feels less angry.
Yeah, there's nothing to be angry over.
There's just so many issues, so many things that I...
What are the other issues?
I think the biggest issue is just that I don't feel good about myself.
Well, you can work on you without taking him to the doghouse over everything.
Well, that's what I've been trying to do. But then, you know, work on myself and try to get my brain right and everything and not try to worry about him so much and what he's thinking, because I like I'm trying to recognize his thoughts are his thoughts. I don't know what he's thinking. Control that.
I tell you what, I think he's your distraction for not working on yourself. It's a lot easier to judge him, be obsessed with what's going on in his brain and mad at him and everything. Because when you're doing all of that, guess what you're not doing?
Right.
Having to listen to the way you talk to yourself, having to change the conversation. That's the hardest work we'll ever do. So like you, this is what a lot of people do. I talk shitty to myself. I don't like me. I judge me. My self-talk's terrible. Oh, look, it's donuts. Yum, 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 yum. Now I don't have to listen to all that. Your husband is your donuts. When I'm bitching and judging and angry and having expectations and all the things over here, guess what I'm not doing? Beating myself up. I'm beating him up. That feels way better. I'd rather be angry at him than angry at myself. I have a target. No collateral damage. So if you just like shut that shit down on a dime.
But then I'm left with me.
Do what? Do what?
Then I'm left with me.
You are left with you, which is the good news. Yeah. You need to be left with you so that you can level you up. You need all kinds of, you need a vacation with you.
Yeah. So what's a good thought? Like what's the, like, cause I would try to have I put in my phone for a reminder to pop up, you know, several times a day. Like what's a really good, like, thought that I can have that help, like, is on me, like
for you?
I'm gonna let,
what do you want to believe about yourself?
That I can be, I guess I don't know how to say it, but like I could be honest with myself and handle, I just have this fear, like I can't handle if something bad happens, like fear of judgment.
I can handle anything. I'm learning to handle it all. Okay. The only way you'll be learn how to handle it is start handling it and to quit being mad at him.
Yeah.
Because being angry at him is donuts. Every time, like, I want you, like, what is your favorite food in the world? Favorite, like, Like, if we were all going to heaven and we can eat whatever we want and not get fat, what is it?
Yeah, it'd be something fried. Mozzarella sticks or something.
All right. He's fried cheese sticks.
Okay.
Like, this big. And every time you're judging him and putting thoughts in his head, and reading into everything he says, I want you to be like, well, there's 10 pounds of cheese sticks right on my ass.
Okay.
Because that's what's happening. Because when you're doing that, you're not working on you. You're not thinking about how you want to think about you.
Yeah.
And I would just put in my phone, if your biggest fear literally is that you can't handle your emotions, you can't like handle bad things, I can handle anything thrown at me. It will not feel real.
Right.
But you gotta start like practicing it, thinking it, writing about it. You gotta start letting it like be a part of like what you think rather than what you're thinking now. That's the biggest thing that I think the hardest thing for me to get you guys to do is to practice unbelievable thoughts as much as you practice these bullshitty ones that are tripping you up. They feel like a waste. And the only reason why you guys shrink from them is because you want to hang on to your pain. You have collected the evidence all the years for it, and you don't want to let it go. And your brain says, this is stupid. This is stupid. This is stupid. It's like, you need to tell yourself, it may be stupid, but we're going to keep doing it because beating ourselves up is dumber than shit.
Yeah.
That's what's really stupid. Hanging on to this piece. This will get me somewhere. So you start doing that. You just start thinking about, I'm going to be able to handle stuff. I'm learning how to do it. And the way I'm going to do it first is I'm going to quit creating drama that's not even there.
Yep. Yeah. Makes sense. Makes a lot of sense.
You do this in 6 months, that man of yours is going to send me flowers. I've had several of them send me gifts and notes and stuff. Like, I don't know what you do to my wife, but he's never allowed to leave.
He won't know what to do with himself.
He'll be like, oh my God.
Yeah.
That old nag I was with.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, everybody, collective sigh. I know this is going to be the weirdest change of topic, but our call's over anyway. Tennessee is now in the Sweet 16. I wore my bright orange just for today. And Hulu, we don't have the cable yet. Hulu blacked us out. We weren't going to be able to watch it. So, all right. Just everybody had to know that. All right. I'd hate to, like, dramatically end your call that way, but you're no longer going to nag on him. You're no longer going to create the drama. You're going to
focus
on that you can handle your own shit. Like, just put it in there. I'm learning to believe I can handle my emotions. Because you're you're already handling them. You're just handling them in a way that doesn't work for Beth.
That's true. That is true. Yeah. Avoiding and judging.
Yeah. You can do this, Mama.
Okay.
All right. Talk to you later.
All right. Bye.
All right. Thank you, everyone. Tennessee. It takes so little to please me. Sonia, you're next. Oh, you already got your hand raised. Way to go. I guess Mary's not here. Hello, bottom left. I did not know which Sonia was going to be on here. We got Minnie.
Hi.
Hello.
Ooh. How are you?
Good. What are we coaching on today?
I am totally nervous because we're actually coaching on, I'm actually a life and health coach myself.
Oh.
and an educator. And so one of the big highlights of joining your tribe was the coaching that I wanted to do coaching. But I started in January and for some reason I just couldn't bring myself to sign up for coaching. So I'm here today. Yeah. So I actually did a thought download on why don't I want to get coached? Why am I so nervous about it?
Well, do you want to work on that or do you have something bigger you want to work on?
Well,
you're already here.
So, I guess my big challenge in being a coach was one, you know, I guess, the expectations, because I'm a coach, you know. So I've made a lot of progress in my personal life in a lot of areas. And so my next journey was to release some more weight. And so that's why I decided to join your tribe. So I guess for me, the big thing is follow through for myself. I'm really good at, you know, helping others. I'm very confident in what I do and being able to help others. But the follow through for myself as far as like the weight loss part of it.
So why are you worried on yourself? Like, what are you, like, what is the problem? What are you, if you had to pick one thing
that I you guess the thing is, so about a year and a half ago, I lost 35 pounds, counting calories. And then, once I started the coaching program, I started it last January. I decided I don't want to do that anymore. I wanted to be more, mindful about my eating and stuff. And so, but for that whole year, I kept the 35 pounds off, which I was really proud about that. But now I want to step that up or up level that, and I want to still mindfully and intuitively be able to release the rest of the weight. So I turned 50 in December of this year. And so my goal is to have a total of 100 pounds lost by then.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's where I'm at.
So what do you need to fix then? To lose the 65? What do you think? What is the first thing you're probably going to need to clean up?
Well, I wasn't writing down the 24-hour plans and assessments. I was doing it like on a personal journal, but I think that wasn't enough. So I started, I'm also a teacher, so I've been off these last few weeks. So I've been doing it. It's my sixth day that I've done the 24-hour plan and the assessment. I also have two accountability groups now, so we've kind of been sending pictures to each other of that as well. So I guess my thing is, like I said, I've kind of been at the same 35 pounds, like I'll lose a few and then kind of gain them back. And I think for me, I guess the big thing is the weekends. And I know, you know, it's kind of what you were saying. I know everything I should do. I don't beat myself up about it. I'm pretty confident in the body that I'm at right now.
Yeah.
And I don't go through all the, you know, negative talk. Pretty positive. It's just for some reason I kind of keep gaining the same 3 or 4 pounds, like losing them and gaining them.
And it's all on the weekends? Is the weekends the biggest
thing? For the most part, it's the weekends. Yeah.
Okay, so why are you breaking your plans on the weekend? Are you breaking your plans or are you making a plan?
And I do food prep. I started doing that. It's pretty consistent.
But just on the weekend, like Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, what's happening?
I guess because we eat out a lot. So even though I'm really conscious about, you know, carb, protein, and I try to do salad with almost every meal now, and okay. I'm more conscious.
Let me just tell you this. Every time I ask you to tell me what needs to be fixed, you tell me all the things you're doing right. I'm going to go ahead and just give you kudos for all your right stuff. Now let's talk about all the shit that you need to fix.
And that's where I need you, Corinne. I guess.
You go out to eat on the weekends. It's in the weekends. I'm going to tell you right now. That's the one thing that you smoke signaled up. That's uh-huh. not working. So what's happening on the weekends?
On the weekends, there's no meal prep. Usually we do the meal prep Sunday for Monday through Friday. And then Friday, my family likes to go out to eat. So
where are you going?
I'm doing a lot better.
With giving me the good stuff. All right. This is what I want you to see for yourself. There's a fine line between celebrating our successes mm-hmm. and then not looking at the things we need to fix. It's like, I keep trying to ask you, like, I need to know what's not working so we can like brainstorm and get over these obstacles and stuff. And it's like, you do not want to pull the trigger on looking at something that you're not going to like. And I would almost guess you're doing the same shit to yourself all the time. Guys, I'm all about patting ourselves on the back, but we have to have equal time being like, I'm patting myself on the back and here's honesty time. Because a lot of you, what happens is you don't want to be honest, because if you do that, like you said, I'm doing really well with the self-talk. Like, was that a problem at one point?
I want to say I never had big self-esteem issues, but it is something that I consciously work on.
Okay. This is what I commonly see. Is that people don't want to go to honesty because they equate the honest side with feeling bad. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, we're going to be honest about what's going on so we can be determined and focused. Those are the feelings that we want to get to.
Okay. So I guess my honesty is, I do good, and then I have overeats on weekends, I guess, for the most part.
Yeah, it's the weekend. So, like, Friday, it's Friday night. Mm-hmm. What'd y'all have this Friday? All right, so what did y'all have Friday?
What did we have this Friday?
Or last night? What did you eat last night?
Last night, I actually, my daughter and I went on a date yourself. We talked about confidence for the whole week. And so that's what we did. We went out and I had fish. I had rice, broccoli. Okay. I had put dessert on my plan, but felt full. So I didn't do dessert. Okay. So I decided to have the bread instead because I wasn't even considering to give you bread with the meal.
So there's a cleanup. You talked yourself into eating off plan. Okay. There's no switching the exceptions.
Okay.
If you plan for dessert, you don't want dessert. Boom, done. We don't be like, well, we'll have this instead. Mm-hmm. So bread could have come out. And you don't remember what you had Friday?
No, I don't remember what we ate.
Mm-mm. Was it on plan or off plan?
Actually, I have my stuff here. Let me check.
See, everyone, this is why we keep them, because as we age, we can't just wait. I'm like, I can't even remember what I ate this morning.
So there's Saturday, Friday. Where are we? Okay, so Friday for dinner, I had. My husband ended up bringing Don Carbon, which is rotisserie chicken. So I had rotisserie chicken, and I had put on my plan. I had put protein, fiber, carbs, and salad.
Did you eat fiber, carbs, and salad?
I had the rotisserie chicken. I had macaroni salad, rice, and beef.
Okay, so macaroni salad. Mm-hmm. Fiber. Mm-hmm. When on Wednesday, what is fiber?
I put TMI. I put fiber for Friday because I have been constipated, so that's why.
So we
I put
had fiber macaroni salad because we know that'll make us shit. Your weekend has got to be dialed. I don't care. Like, this is, I'm going to promise you that if I asked you, well, what'd you have Monday through Thursday? You could be like, bam, bam, bam. I got my food prep. I've got all this stuff. Uh-huh. Friday through Sunday is a hot mess. Like, well, let me go back and look. This says this. It's, do you see why we're getting loosey-goosey results? Because we're playing loosey-goosey on the weekend. That's where you have to dial in. Now, this is not to say it needs to be clean eating, but you need to have a plan just like you have the rest of the week. You need the same energy and enthusiasm and dedication that you're applying Sunday night through Friday lunch. Because if you take your foot off the gas, historically speaking, for a full year, it has said you're eating just enough to maintain. To maintain is macaroni salad instead of broccoli. It's bread when you decided not to have dessert. Rather than capitalizing on not having the dessert, you went and just broke your plan and then talked yourself into it being okay. Which means that probably on the weekends, there's lots of tiny moments that you're feeling really good and you're justifying little things that are keeping you exactly where you're at. So I think that's all you got to fix. It's just like, can I do a food prep on Thursday? A mini food prep that gets me through the weekend, and then I still have my planned exception. If you're going to go out to eat with your family, if it says, like, you have got to get it dialed with yourself, that if it says fiber, you know what fiber means, and it doesn't mean macaroni salad. Because you had on there, what, carb and a veggie?
Uh-huh. I had carbs.
Had mac and cheese and, or no, what was it?
I had rotisserie chicken, rice, beans, and macaroni salad. Yeah.
Rice and beans is a carb.
Yes.
Macaroni salad is a treat.
Yes.
Somewhere the vegetable got shit all over. And when we really wanted to shit. And we needed that vegetable. I think that's it. Like, mama, I just think it's like you thinking about your weekends is they're just as important and they can still be fun, but they need to be thought of seriously.
Yes.
I think that's such a good call because I don't usually get to talk to people very often about the nuance between celebrating where you're at. Mm-hmm. And being honest with the other pieces, because if you're not getting the result you want, there's some honesty not being told. And so many of us shy away from being honest with ourselves because we haven't learned yet that honesty doesn't have to feel bad. Honesty just needs to be like, oh, my light bulb just went off. This is what I need to be doing. No wonder my results aren't coming. But this is an easy fix. Like you, this is an easy fix.
Mm-hmm.
It is literally little choices like that. They're keeping you from losing consistently 1 to 2 pounds a week.
Yeah, because by Friday I had lost 3.4 pounds. But then this morning I weighed myself, you know, and I had late dinner and stuff, and I was up like two of that. And so, yeah, that's pretty much been my experience for the last year.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's just, I've always told people, majority of weight loss is always in those little margins. It's those little things that we're doing, and we blow it up to be such a big problem, or to be like such a thing. I'm like, just let someone like me look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, I can tell you real quick, and your accountability people, like, tell them, like, this is what I'm doing on the weekends. What do you see that I'm not seeing?
Mm-hmm.
There was something else you said in the beginning that really, we've got a minute. Is Mary, Mary, you had coaching, but there was something you said in the beginning. Raise your hand, Mary, if you're here. If not, I want to dial in. There's expectations as a coach.
Yes.
No, there's not.
Yes, because I'm like, do I even say it? Because I'm not here as a coach. You know, I'm here as I'm here to get coached. You know, I'm in your program to work on myself. So I was kind of torn between that too. Do I even say that I'm a coach? You know,
I'm not saying that you're a coach, but what do you think what is this? You were describing being a coach and you said, and you know, as a coach, there are expectations. Like what? There are? I should probably read that book. Tell me what the expectations are. I'd like to know.
I guess I just put more pressure on myself. Like I tell you, again, focusing on the positive, I really focus on my positives. But that's where I'm letting go, I guess, like you said, the little tweaks or fixes that I'm missing. And what you said was key. You know, it doesn't have to be a negative thing or a bad feeling when I'm noticing things that need to be tweaked or changed.
Yeah, but this is what I want you to think about. I want you to just do some personal work on when most of the time when I hear people say that, this is what I interpret. I think other people have expectations of what a coach is, and I'm supposed to live up to those. It very much so comes out in the health and wellness space. Mm-hmm. A lot of coaches believe that they're supposed to be really healthy eaters and the model of, you know, peak health and all this other stuff to help people. But I hear that a lot in the coaching world.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just curious if you had some kind of something going on of like, well, I think other people think a coach should be that way and I'm not there yet. If not, then just don't worry about it. But mm-hmm. just when you watch the call, watch how you described, you know, because you said it like, you know, and I'm a coach and health and I think you, what do you say?
Health and life.
Health and life coach.
Uh-huh.
Yes, I'm a health and life coach. And you know there's expectations. It's the way you said it.
Mm-hmm.
I was ready to jump on it because I thought that's what you were going to talk about. And then you went. But I just want you to explore it because a lot of us sit there and think, like, we'll have, like, all the moms that have kids on the spectrum or have kids with, you know, unique needs and stuff, they'll say, well, you know, my kid has autism and, you know, there's expectations as to how, you know, we parent that.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, just people say these things all the time. And it's always because they're thinking about what other people think. Expectations are always set internally. So if you don't like your expectations, you're probably basing them on someone else's opinions instead of your own.
Mm-hmm.
Like I have a book of expectations for me as a coach that I have defined that I feel really good about.
Mm-hmm.
So just do your work on that just to make sure that the expectations you have of yourself don't have any underlying gross things. Because if it does, it will affect your ability to help people.
Yes. Okay.
All of mine feel lush.
Okay. Thank you. And like I said in the beginning too, that I'm very nervous about coming on calls, but my goal is to come on at least once a month with you. So we'll see what next month brings.
Do calls. Do not worry. Even if you can't get in with me, get in with the other girls.
Yes.
You didn't go to life coach school?
No, I went through HCI.
Okay. So one of the things that we are told like a religion at LCS that I'll share with you is that we are almost everyone is that works specifically with Brooke is required to have a coach, their own
yes.
coach.
Yes, and that's why I said I 100% believe in coaching. That's why I was, why haven't I signed up? You know, I was in since January and I kept putting it off and I didn't look up how to sign up with you until last week. And then one of your coaches told me, you know, you can always look to see if there's cancellations. You don't have to wait till the 25th. So I texted yesterday and I got signed on. And honestly, the whole time you were talking, I was so stressed and nervous during all the other talks. I even got up and told my family, oh my God, I'm so nervous. Why am I so nervous?
It's just, you know, it's like one of those things. I think a lot of times as coaches, we think because we know how to do it, oh, you know, it'd be no different than if somebody's a brain surgeon and they get a mm-hmm. tumor and they're like, well, I shouldn't go see a doctor. I should just operate on myself. You know, I mean, it's like nobody would do that. You'd go, doctors have doctors, just like coaches coach each other.
Right?
Like, it's just your shit. Like when it's you, like, oh my gosh, I get coached by people all the time because like a lot of times I'm just in it. I know I'm in it, but I don't know how to get out of it. I feel like Dorothy in the Wizard of Oz when she's in the house and it's spinning and shit's just flying by the window. You know, you need somebody to help you land softly.
Yes. And then you know what helped me on the caller that her mom walked in? It kind of just made me laugh so much and it kind of just settled me down a little because I had told my family, do not come in. Do not.
Oh, yeah. I get there's all kinds. Sometimes I've had calls with girls and other PNP girls are in the room and I can't see them on the screen, but I'll see their eyes going like that. And I'm like, who's in there? And they'll come around the corner and be like, all right. Well, good call, mama.
Thank you, Karen. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
All right, loves. That's hilarious. So she apologized to her mother, everyone. Okay. And I'm going to say your name wrong. It's not Amica. I've said it. I'm going to say Amaka. I hope that's correct. Because like now this is what happens. It's like you say it in your head so many times. Like when I've seen you post, it's going to take some rewiring. All right. I got it right. Good. I'm going to start practicing it in my brain. When I read your post, I'm just going to do Amaka. All right. Y'all have a good one. Thank you. I am going to go and do some more unpacking. Well, it's not really unpacking. Now it's like organizing. So I'm determined to be really organized. And once I get everything organized, I'm going to take pictures of my beautiful organization for everyone. Talk to you later, y'all.